From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, are there lessons to learn from Timo Werner? Are you considering a sale to make room for Gareth Bale? Or wondering if you're too tardy to bring in Jamie Maddison? Well, have we got a show for you then? Loads of answers on the way in the official FPL podcast from the Premier League. Hello, Fantasy Premier League manager. Hope you're well. Did you enjoy game week one? I'm James Richardson, and I'm joined in today's show by journalist and South American football guru, Jack Lang. Hello, Jack.
Hi, James. How you doing?
Nice. Pretty good. Thank you very much for my 65 fat points. Broadcaster analyst and former pro, Adrian Clark, is with us.
Hello, James. Yeah, good to be back on board. Yeah, it was. It inspired me to one of my best seasons being on this podcast last season, but you'd never have thought it from game week one.
Wow, early days, marathon, not a sprint, etc. Joining us from the FPL family, no, it's the other one, Lee Bonfield, husband of Sam. Lee.
What an introduction. Thank you, James.
You also do a bit of FPL management, I understand.
Just on the side, yeah. Sam's the main attraction. When you can't get Sam, I get called in.
Right. I mean, we're joking here, but Lee, you're one of the fixtures of the FPL firmament, really. How did you do this week?
Pretty good, James. Pretty good. Solid start, 70 points. So very pleased with that. Picked, I guess you could say, the wrong captain, because I did have Salah in my team, but only as vice captain. But I had Aubameyang. He got me some points. So pretty happy with that. And the rest of the team chipped in too.
All right, your team, Little Beauties, with 70 points. Adrian, you're at the other end of the scale with 50, with your team, Savory Hands. I've always wondered, why Savory Hands?
Well, when I first joined the Fantasy Premier League, there's a former work colleague, Tom, who was called Sweet Feet, and he would win it every single season. And I decided that I would go polar opposite, go Savory Hands, just to jinx him. And it worked. And I beat him in that first season called Savory Hands. And I've just stuck with it ever since.
Fantastic. 50 points for you. One more than Jack Lang with his Rodak moment.
Yeah, not the best start for me.
With the name or the points?
Well, arguably both, James. I'm not too displeased with the name. I do like to have a pun name, as many fantasy managers do, but I don't go in for this nonsense of picking any footballer from any era or any league to make a pun with. That's just too broad. So I like to make sure it's a new player to the Premier League, be it a promoted player or a new signing. So Marek Rodek got the nod this year.
Okay. And is that a play on an advertising slogan? I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah, Kodak moment.
Ah, right.
For you analog photography nerds out there.
Right, okay.
I mean, yeah, obviously
I get it now.
So good that no one actually gets it.
All right. Well, it's a tough one though, isn't it? And I respect you for the fact that you do actually come up with a fresh name every season. A lot of people, Jack, just don't bother.
Lazy, I say, James.
Yeah. My team's called Gotta Get Over Before You Go Under. And I got 65 points, which I was pretty happy about. Although the unique nature of the start of this season meant that I was actually considering wildcarding post the weekend's games.
No.
Yeah, but who would be crazy enough to do something like that? Adrian, you've played it, haven't you?
I played it, yeah. It had to be done. Look, you would have done the same in my position. You see, I went with... I put a lot of eggs in the Pulisic basket because if Chelsea had good fixtures. Pulisic, I was told, or I was led to believe that he was fit for the opener. And he's had a setback, hasn't he? And he's not guaranteed to start this week. So he's had to go. And I just decided, because I think five players didn't feature at all. I blobbed on several players. So I just felt I needed to rip it up and start again. So I'm okay with it. I'm comfortable.
Are you having words with your scouting department?
Definitely,
Adrian?
Yeah. I took a big chance. I went with two because Wolves changed their wing backs, didn't they? Doherty's moved on and Johnny's injured, and I convinced myself that Vinagre would play on the left, and that Oscar Burr, the little known £4 million worth Oscar Burr, would play on the right. And of course, neither of them started the game, and that was quite costly for me.
Who's your Wolves correspondent, Adrian?
Yeah, he's sacked, the Wolves correspondent.
Beyond your early season problems, the fact that Manchester City and United are coming into play this time around, means that Adrian's not the only one who's certainly been considering an overhaul of their team one week in. Why is it so wrong, do you think, Lee? Because I'm still tempted.
Well, I think you play your wild card whenever suits you, James. And I guess if game week two suits Adrian, then I difficult to argue with that. And I guess if you've got five players that you want to take out, that is, you know, what would that be? A 20-point hit? So you don't want to be taking that.
It's
so,
six, actually.
It's six, okay, so it's a 24-point hit. So, yeah, no one wants to do that coming into game week two. So listen, that's okay with me. And, yeah, with Manchester United and Manchester City coming in, there's plenty of options for you to bring in there. And don't forget Burnley and Aston Villa as well. I think certainly we saw enough of the Burnley defence to invest in them. But for me, that's a very early wild card, that, Adrian. I think I'd be keeping it in my pocket for a little while.
Well, aside from the Premier League sides which didn't feature in game week one, there's also a bunch of new players who could be in for this weekend, who are going to be influencing our thinking. Gareth Bale and Sergio Reguilón to Spurs, and Thiago Alcantara at Liverpool. Which, Jack, has got you most excited? Which, if any of those, are you considering?
Of those three, I think Sergio Reguilón would be the one I'm looking at. He's a very attacking fullback, pins his ears back and gets to the ball, and also likes to nip inside and get a shot away. We saw that in Sevilla's Europa League campaign. And yeah, price-wise, I think it will depend on how he stacks up against Matt Doherty. If he's 0.5 million less than Doherty, then I think he's going to be a very interesting choice. Gareth Bale, of course, has a lot of fantasy history. He's a player who's done very well for me in the past, that season when everything he touched turned to goals. But injuries, I think, would be my main concern with him. If you could guarantee 25, 30 starts, price depending, obviously, I'd be very interested. But he hasn't had that run of games for, well, 3 or 4 years now. So he'd be someone I'd be placing in the kind of watch and see category.
And what about Thiago Alcantara?
Personally, I don't think he's a prime fantasy player. I think he's an excellent footballer, but he's someone who sits deep, someone who constructs the play, will often play the pass before the assist. Not a massive goal scorer and not even a massive assist giver, even though he's a brilliant passer. So I'd probably be giving him a swerve and hoping that some people bring him in and struggle.
All right, Jack. Well, we'll be looking at all the weekend's fixtures in depth and all the moves you should be making in the course of this show. Bear in mind that, as we mentioned last week, the deadlines have changed this season. It's now a full 90 minutes before the first kickoff of the round that you have to get your teams in, which means that this week's deadline is Saturday at 11 o'clock. All right, then. Let's talk fixtures. Game week two features a full fixture list from the Premier League, and the standout game in there, certainly in football terms, possibly in fancy terms as well, Lee, is Liverpool's clash with Chelsea. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, it should be a good game, shouldn't it? I'm kind of conflicted from an FPL perspective because I have Reece James in my team, I have Timo Werner, I have Salah, and I have Trent Alexander-Arnold, of course. So I'm kind of conflicted as to, you know, from an FPL perspective, where the points are going to come from. But clearly, I'd like the Reds to continue on their good vein of form against Leeds. So I think we're going to come up against a very different sort of outfit in Chelsea than Liverpool came up against Leeds. Leeds played a kind of 4-1-4-1, and they pushed a lot of their midfielders high up the pitch and gave both Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold a lot to consider. Now, I don't think that Chelsea are necessarily going to play that way. In fact, they might not push up because they don't want Salah and Mane getting in behind. But Timo Werner, I thought, played particularly well. Only 5 points in FPL in the first game against Brighton there. But I think I saw enough from him to suggest that he's going to be a good FPL asset this season. He's got pace, got strength, was getting in and around the box, plenty of penalty box touches. So at 9.5, I can see why his ownership is so high in FPL. And then, of course, on the red side of that game, Mo Salah kicked off with a hat-trick, didn't he? Absolutely sensational. I particularly like the second goal, just whipped it in with his left foot. It was really, really good. I do think that Leeds gave Liverpool a little bit of space in that gap between the defence and midfield. They kind of put Calvin Phillips there in that kind of single pivot, and that gave Firmino the opportunity to come back and create space for the others. So I don't expect Salah to get quite as much space as he did against Leeds. And, of course, you've got Azpilicueta potentially coming back into that spot, who was rested in the first game, I think mainly with an eye on controlling Salah during this game. So should be a very interesting game. From an FPL perspective, like I say, plenty of options.
Liverpool also got one or two issues at the back. And I'm not sure how much justification you can find for the price tags of some of their defenders at the moment, when you look at the way that Liverpool have been performing, certainly since the restart, Jack, the number of goals they've conceded, they're actually 11th in goals conceded since football restarted after the lockdown. They've had 15 goals conceded in the last 10 matches, only 3 clean sheets in those fixtures. Jack, is it worth holding on to the likes of Trent, who I happen to have sold this week, or Andy Robertson or Van Dijk?
Well, I have Robertson and Alexander-Arnold, as I did for a good chunk of last season. So I've certainly put a lot of my eggs in this basket. And yeah, frankly, Liverpool's defensive form is a big concern to me. I think, though, those players still represent decent value. The fullbacks, I probably wouldn't be going for Alisson or even Van Dijk or Gomez, even though they're a little cheaper, because just Robertson and Alexander-Arnold are just dominating set piece delivery at the moment. They think they had 9 corners between them against Leeds. Robertson obviously popped up with an assist. Free kicks as well, they're on. And that's even before we get to how high they operate up the pitch. So I tend to think of it as a frustration that they're not keeping as many clean sheets as I like, but it's not a deal breaker, because I think if you had midfielders for 7 and 7.5 who are getting that many assists, putting that many set pieces in, I think we would consider them a bargain. So when they get the 4 points additionally for a clean sheet, that's a bonus for me.
Ah, okay. Sorry, I just sold Trent Alexander-Arnold, but it wasn't a good cause.
That's up there with Adrian's wildcard, I'd say.
I'm not sure.
The best player in the game after 1 week.
I needed the
money.
It depends
who you brought in, though, James, doesn't it?
I brought in Bruno Fernandes. And Trent looked shook to me against Leeds.
He's not playing well. It's been a while. That back line is not right. I think I've got Werner playing this weekend. I think Werner's pace off the shoulder of Gomez it could cause Liverpool all sorts of problems. We know they leave a bit of space there. Leeds found it. So yeah, I think this could be a good game for Werner. It's not a match, I don't think, for defenders hauling in big points on either side. I can only see goals, Chelsea, Liverpool. Okay.
Lee, you're a veteran Liverpool watcher. What do you think about the value of those defenders?
I think Liverpool came up against a very intense, a very high-pressing Leeds side. And I think that Chelsea will play in a similar vein. I didn't see that level of intensity in Chelsea against Brighton, to be honest. But certainly Frank has got them set up to kind of push and harry and play that high press. So I tend to agree with Adrian. I think we will see goals in that game, I think. And I don't think we'll see many clean sheets for defenders. I'm not as concerned about the Liverpool defence as some, though. I think, you know, we've had a whole 2 or 3 seasons now of Liverpool showing that they are defensively pretty solid. And I agree with what Jack said before. You're going to get upside from an attacking perspective, certainly from Robertson, who seemed to be on a lot of corners, even though Trent was on the pitch in the previous game. So listen, I'm not going to say get off of Trent and go sideways to Robertson, but if you've got both, I don't think it's panic stations.
All right. Adrian, quick word on Arsenal's clash with West Ham. Aubameyang signed a new deal. Will that boost his performances or mean he'll take the foot off?
Well, we've seen it before, haven't we, with players taking their foot off after they've signed contracts. I don't think that will happen with Aubameyang. He's just in such good form, isn't he?
Happy were you with his 7 points against Fulham?
Yeah, I was pleased. It could have been more. I mean, he had other opportunities in the game. He looked really, really sharp. I don't think there's a better left-sided forward around than Aubameyang right now. So yeah, no, I'm absolutely delighted. And from an Arsenal point of view, it's huge that he's decided to stay at that sort of juncture where so many other big names have opted to leave in the past. So now I'm still on the Oba bus, but there is a tough run of games coming. That said, I mean, in the cup games, Aubameyang was the hero and scored against Liverpool. He scored against Chelsea, scored against Manchester City, didn't he? So
still a must-have in midfield for you.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think Aubameyang and Salah, that they stayed from week one and I can see them staying long-term. The interesting one is Willian, because he obviously produced 2 assists, didn't he? Was involved in the other goal. He was on a lot of the set pieces and his delivery is tremendous. We know that. So Willian's one to consider. And I see his price has risen actually to 8.1. So a lot of people will be jumping on him. My word of warning against that, as much as I love him as a player, I think he's going to share a lot of game time with Nicola Pepe. I think that those two are effectively competing for the same role at the moment. And Pepe has not done a lot wrong. And he came on for Willian in that first game. I can see those two sharing game time for a bit.
You've got Saka in there as well, Adrian, haven't you? Who I know he's young and he's going to wait for his chance, I guess. But he looked pretty good either on the left or the right last season. So there's another rotation possibility.
Saka's a good filler, isn't he? But and you know when he plays, he will often deliver the points. His in product superb. But right now, there's no place in the team for him, unfortunately. Mm. So I would not have Saka in my team right now. Gabriel and Leno are two interesting ones. They'll play every week. I got Leno. When I sort of got word that he'd got the nod over Emi Martinez, and I think Leno could be my man between the sticks moving forwards.
It was Fulham though, and this is West Ham, and I guess we'll see. As you say, they have come up on top in the big games recently, so even though they do have tough fixtures on the way, Arsenal assets might still be worth having. What about Spurs, Jack? Really disappointing start for them and people who owned Spurs players. I think there's been a lot of movement of Dele Alli out of teams. I myself have also lost Heung-min Son this week in one of my another of my early morning decisions. They're taking on Saints, who were defeated at Palace at the weekend. The arrival of Reguilon is going to have an impact. Bale potentially, not just for what he's going to do, but what he means for the likes of Lucas Moura and Steven Bergwijn as well. How much game time they're going to get with him coming in.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what Jose Mourinho does tactically. Seems like he's going to have an expanded list of options in attacking areas and out wide. So I'd be probably holding off on those kind of players for now. I mean, to me, people like Morda and Bergwijn are kind of slightly cheapo ways into that attacking lineup. And they're a little bit risky for me because you can never be sure about who's going to start. I've got two Spurs players. Son and Doherty, and Tottenham's performance was, you know, I didn't have a great game week overall, but all of the other players I was fairly happy with to a large degree. But Son and Doherty are concerning just because of how limp Spurs looked. I saw enough from Son to give him a few more chances. He's someone I think is great value in this game because he's got the potential to match some of those big scoring midfielders. Always seems to be £1 or 2 million pounds cheaper, often because he's missed games due to suspensions and international duty, things like that. But when he hits a run of form, I don't think there are that many players who can match him. So I'll be bearing with him a little while. Doherty, interesting one. It could have been so different if he'd taken that chance after that 1-2 with Harry Kane. We could easily have been talking about a double point haul for Doherty. So even though Jose Mourinho dug him out a little bit after the game, saying he didn't quite look fit, he'll be starting again. And I'm going to give them both at least another week, maybe two, before I hit the panic button. But was it particularly encouraging against Everton? No, not at all.
Adrian and Lee, have you got Spurs players?
I sold Kane this week as part of my big rejig. My major Carl. although I quietly, even though there was nothing to really be encouraged about that Spurs performance, they're coming up against a Southampton side that seemed to be in a bit of disarray to me. I thought, he made a substitution at half-time with a centre-half, Hasenhüttl. Vestergaard came in for Bednarek. And Stevens got torn apart, really, by Zaha on the break. I can see Son actually, you know, wreaking havoc in this game. I think Spurs might have a bounce back, and Kane has a good record against Southampton as well. So if I didn't need to get rid of Kane this week, I wouldn't have done.
Yeah, and I have Dele Alli in my team as well, James. And unlike Jack, I have hit the panic button. He is gone in my team. During the week, he was due to go down 0.1 in price. And at the beginning of the season, my strategy is to, yes, try and get the price rises where I can, but avoid the price falls at all costs. And, you know, unlike Adrian, I didn't really see a lot to encourage me from Spurs at all. And I appreciate I'm risking the wrath of the other side of FPL family here, but honestly, Spurs were really inept, really, really inept. And I just fear for them, in the games coming up. Dele Alli in particular, if you've got him, with Bale coming in, I guess Son then moves maybe more centrally. Is there an option for Dele Alli to play right Maybe. But then you've got the aforementioned Bergwijn and you've got Lucas Moura. They've got plenty of players that can play there. So for me, Bale coming in makes Dele Alli even more of a rotation risk. And he got hauled off, of course, at halftime in last game week. So he was there was too many red flags there for me with Dele Alli. So, yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, okay. I think Gareth Bale, if he does come in, will play on the right. I think that's most likely with Son on the left and Kane up top. And importantly, he's an option, Bale, isn't he, to play as a centre forward if Kane is injured or needs a breather. So that's a big upside for Spurs.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what kind of FPL price tag Gareth gets as and when he signs for Jose's side. Has anyone got Newcastle players in ahead of their game against Brighton? Is anyone looking to bring the likes of Callum Wilson in? Adrian?
Yeah, I've got Jamal Lewis. He's come in. I thought good value at 4.5.
Good pick.
Newcastle, even though they're not going to finish that high in the Premier League table this year, in my view, they are capable of keeping clean sheets. And he's an attack-minded left-back that might chip in with the odd assist. So yeah, I've got him in for this week, and I think they're more than capable of getting a clean sheet against Brighton. I think last season there was two goalless draws between these sides, so I'm keen on a repeat.
Ah, sure you are, Jack. You were nodding heartily there.
I've got a Newcastle attacking asset. I've got Alan Saint-Maximin. Probably not someone I'd be clinging on to for the whole season, but I thought he was worth a punt for their first two fixtures at least, which looked quite attractive. I think Callum Wilson makes all of the other attackers more attractive because he's someone who sniffs out chances in a way that Newcastle's forwards didn't really do last season. Slightly surprised to see him start up front with Andy Carroll in the first week. I don't think that will be that regular. Once Ryan Fraser's playing, I would expect a kind of three of Fraser, Saint-Maximin and Almiron in support of Wilson. And I picked Saint-Maximin of those because he was the cheapest. So I think Wilson's a great pick, but a 6.5 forward is harder to kind of shoehorn into your team than a 5.5 midfielder. So yeah, I'd be hoping for some attacking returns from Saint-Maximin here. If not, I might start to look elsewhere already.
Attacking returns might be difficult. Newcastle, in their six Premier League clashes with Brighton, have failed to score in five of them, and they've never actually won against the Seagulls in the top division. Remarkable. Well, the Premier League anyway. Also this weekend, Manchester sides are back, of course. Manchester City, who are at Wolves on Monday night. Man United taking on Crystal Palace on the weekend. We'll talk about those fixtures in a second or two, because which Manchester players to have was the subject of this week's Twitter question. So, listeners, this week's Twitter question was, which players from the two Manchester clubs are you bringing in to your FPL squad? Tom says KDB, because you never know. Bruno and Martial for United to tear it up. Alf says, I'd rather get Sterling. I don't see De Bruyne having up to 5 points against Wolves. And Rob says, it has to be Fernandes, as long as Man United continue to be gifted millions of penalties. I don't think I'd trust Man United to keep clean sheets. As if they are going with a midfield three of Van de Beek, Pogba and Fernandes, I don't see much protection for the back four in there. Oh, and one more. Anesu says, get Timo out for Martial. Well, let's start with that. Should you be making sacrifices to bring in Martial? How many points hits or even wildcards should you play to make room for the big stars from Manchester? Lee.
I think we've got to go to Adrian first, haven't we? Mr. Wildcard. You've got to be bringing in plenty of Manchester City and Manchester United, haven't you, Adrian?
I'm holding fire on Manchester City because Wolves away is a tricky fixture. There's a lot of uncertainty about team selection as well with City. So no, I've stepped aside from them. But yeah, a couple of Man United players.
A wild card with no Man City, Adrian.
I know. Come on. Look, it's just the way I'm rolling. All right. I've got a cheeky little differential in Luke Shaw. Brandon Williams is injured at the moment. They were in for Reguilon and haven't got him. I think Luke Shaw's going to start this season, and he's reasonably cheap. He's only got 1.5% ownership, so I've gone with him, and I've gone with Rashford actually out of the big guns. Again, he's been involved in pre-season, and even though he wasn't superb, was he, earlier in the summer, he had a slight dip of sorts. I'm going on a hunch, really, that Rashford could be the man to start this season on fire. And also, I can't quite afford Bruno Fernandes, so that's why I've gone with Rashford. He's a million cheaper.
How far is Luke Shaw from fitness, from being back in the team, Adrian?
No, I think he's fit and available as far as I'm concerned. He played in the last friendly match and has been described as a cert in the local news. So that's why I've gone with him. And Rashford is a hunch, like I say. I can't quite afford Bruno Fernandes. And look, if Rashford plays to his potential, he's going to be as valuable as many other forwards in the game. And he's just another one of those excellent midfield options this season. Mm. So look, my midfield now contains Aubameyang, Salah and Rashford. And I'm all right with that.
Got to be pretty happy with that. How many Man United players have you got, Jack?
I've got Bruno Fernandes. I had him squirreled away on my bench in game week one, just so I didn't have to use a transfer to bring him in. And to me, he's just everything I look for in a fantasy attacking midfielder, on penalties, on nearly every United dead ball, always looking to play a positive pass. So the things that count against him in the wider view, you know, that he gives the ball away a lot, that he tries too many risky passes, are all positives when it comes to fantasy. Same for penalties. People moan that United get a load of penalties. That's brilliant if you've got him in your team in fantasy. I love his desire. He's someone, if United are winning 3-0, he still wants to score in the 90th minute. I like his fitness. He never really seems to be injured. He bounces up from every tackle. He's not someone I worry about when he gets crunched. I more worry about the opposition who are getting him angry. And yeah, I think at 10.5, I'd have paid more for him if he cost more. And at that price, I think he was just made perfect sense. And yeah, he'll be straight into my team. May captain him, although we'll talk about that in a minute. And I'd be surprised if he left my team for the whole season unless he got injured.
Crikey. Lee, who have you got from Old Trafford?
Well, I don't have anybody right now. And like I say, I've made my transfer already, and that's Ali out. And we'll talk about that maybe in a second as to who I've got in. But it's not somebody from Manchester United. And I really like Jack's strategy of having somebody on the bench ready to come in for game week two. I did follow that strategy for a number of weeks over the summer and then decided at the last minute that having 9.5 or 10.5 on my bench was not something I wanted to do for game week one. Listen, I'm happy to see how both of these teams go. I think we saw enough from Crystal Palace and from Wolves in game week one to suggest that neither of those teams are going to get, they're not going to get slaughtered, I don't think. Both Man City and Manchester United, I would back for wins in both of those games, but I don't think it will be easy. Crystal Palace in particular showed that they can be organised and they can be, resilient in game week one. So going to Old Trafford, Manchester United, first game of the season, might be a bit of lethargy there. Couldn't say anything against either of the picks, either Rashford or Bruno. I think of the two, I would go Bruno for all the reasons that Jack mentioned. Defensively, wouldn't fancy Manchester United too much. But yeah, happy to sit and wait, James, I think, and then act probably in game week three or four.
I see. Manchester City, I think a lot of people are sitting out their players, or at least sitting out buying their players, until they've got past the Wolves game, when fixtures then become a lot easier for City. But the players that we saw mentioned there by some of our listeners, the likes of KDB, the likes of Sterling, generally seen as fixture proof. How many of those do you have, Lee? Is this the player you're going to mention?
Well, I think if I was going to go for any of those, I would go for Kevin De Bruyne. Yes. I mean, Sterling would be a nice differential. I think at time of recording, he's still well under 10% owned. So if you wanted to go against the herd, maybe you had a bad game week one, you want to kind of get on the differential early, maybe Sterling's the one to have a look at. But I always like to have a bit more patience when I'm picking the big players. It's a big bet that you're placing with your FPL pounds. And for me, I just want to see how both of these teams set up. I think we know largely what we're going to get from Man City, although with that Wolves game, I'm happy to wait. But with Manchester United, there's potentially a changing dynamic with Van der Beek coming in. And I just want to see how those guys play. But if you told me I have to have a Man City player in game week two, it'd be Kevin De Bruyne.
But hang on, you had a go at me earlier for saying that I didn't have any Man City players in my wildcard, and you haven't got any.
Well, I've got some plans to bring them in. I think in game week three and four, they look a bit better, Adrian. But if I had a wild card, I would be definitely bringing in Manchester City players. But I think I would be, given that I've got other fires to put out, Dele Alli-shaped ones, I'll be waiting.
Fair enough. Mm.
All right. Plenty of food for thought there then, and even more to come when we take the long view next. Listener, the long view is our own version of FFP. as we do some forward planning. There's an extra F there. You can do what you want with it. Clubs with favourable runs, clubs with runs of fixtures that are going to reap big points, and clubs with absolutely dismal stretches of red across their next six games. Who's got the best fixtures right now? Fulham, actually. But I'm not sure if anyone's bold enough to bring in any cottages for this run of games. Next up, you've got, at least on the FPL fixture difficulty rating chart, you've got Wolves, despite the fact they're facing Man City this weekend, and then Everton, who looked sparkling in their clash back in game week one over Spurs. Who's got Everton players? I've got my hand up.
Who have you got, James?
Well, I had Richarlison, and obviously he didn't really pay any dividends in the first week, but it could have worked. But then my move to get rid of Trent rather rashly was to bring in Luca Dean, and then with the money freed up by that downgrade, financial downgrade, I was able to afford Bruno Fernandes, who I noticed that many experts like Lee are quite big on. So yeah, Luca Dean for me, I thought he was brilliant against Spurs. Got one assist, could have had way much more if Richarlison had been a little bit more deadly with his finishing. But there's so many good options now. And James Rodriguez, of course, really impressing with the five chances that he created. Jack, what did you think?
Yeah, James Rodriguez definitely on my wait and see list. I think if he had been, I was slightly nervous about whether he'd start that game, considering he was a late arrival and hasn't had all that much football in recent seasons. But the fact that he was straight in the team, I think, was fairly telling. I think Ancelotti really trusts him. And he is someone who definitely has the potential to make a mockery out of that price. 7.5 for a player of his quality is, I think, a potential bargain. It will depend on whether he can, adapt to the rhythms of the Premier League, because he is someone who likes time and space in which to operate. But you know, I'm sure he'll be all dead balls. He's a brilliant threader of through passes, a great shot on him. There's a lot of potential upside there.
Right, he won't always be facing lazy pressing. That's your message there. Who do you think is going to be taking penalties for Everton this season?
that's a good question.
it does have a big bearing on whether people decide to go for, say, Dominic Calvert-Lewin or Richarlison or even James Rodriguez. Sigurdsson was the taker, but I think he's now out of the picture.
I would guess it would be between Richarlison and James. Richarlison has taken a few for Brazil, is very confident in general and very hungry for goals. Like I mentioned with Bruno earlier, Richarlison is someone who would be livid if he hasn't scored in a 4-0 win, which I think works in his favour. But I mean, James probably has seniority just from his history in football, probably has Ancelotti's blessing. So I think it would be a coin flip between those two.
I've gone for Calvert-Lewin, James. Brought him in before the price rise. I see he's gone up before we came on air to 7.1. So I was pleased to jump in there. I just think he's going to get a lot more service now with the quality behind him. Just as a slight word of warning for the Everton defence, they've got much better protection now with Alan and the other guys in central midfield, Gomez, Fitt and Doucouré. Still unconvinced about the quality of their actual defenders and their goalkeepers long term. So just be careful. But Dean, you'll get lots of assists, I'm sure.
I like that Dominic Calvert-Lewin pick in particular. I think you're right, he's going to get so much service. I think he could be this year's Danny Ings. He's at that sort of price point where you can get him into your team fairly easily at this stage. But I think if you're going to act quickly, I wouldn't back against that, because I think that's 7.0 or 7.1, as you rightly say now, Adrian. He'll make a mockery of that, I think, over this next run of fixtures.
Him over Richarlison, Lee?
Well, actually, I liked Richarlison's performance. He was a bit wasteful, don't get me wrong. He did waste a couple of one particular golden chance, wasn't there, which was more or less an open goal in the first half. Five shots in the box, an attempt every 18 minutes for Richarlison. So if he could be a bit more clinical, he's just as good a pick.
Okay. Quick word on Wolves then, who, as we mentioned, after Man City have got great fixtures. They're away at West Ham. Then they take on Fulham, Leeds, Newcastle and Crystal Palace. Fulham, Newcastle and Palace all at home, by the way. Which Wolves players have you got / are getting in? Jack?
Currently have none. Oh. I was almost tempted by Vinagre, as Adrian was, but I knew Fernando Marcel could be a potential left wing back. So I, was very pleased with myself to swerve that one. Their defensive assets are always interesting, I think. I suppose price-wise, Cody or Saiz would be the one I'd go for five. But Jimenez is just someone who is always on my radar. You know, he's what works against him is that he's not someone who will score 15, 17 points in a game. He's kind of chips away at the score with sixes, eights and nines. But that's not a bad thing necessarily. He's very reliable. Mm. And a stat that jumped out of me this morning, I think he's featured in 77 consecutive Premier League games for them, of which 74 were starts. So just that reliability of starts is a big plus point. And yeah, depending how Werner gets on, I think Werner is someone who has massive potential for those massive scores. And that's why I've got him in. But if Werner doesn't quite cut the mustard, then I'll be downgrading to Jimenez and very happy with that.
Looking at the other end of the scale in terms of fixture difficulty rating, the bottom two at the moment of this chart are Arsenal and West Ham. Adrian, you were talking about Ober before. Is he fixture-proof, do you think? They've got Liverpool, Sheffield United, Man City, Leicester, and then Man United after the Hammers.
Yeah, it is a tough run of games. I think he's fixture-proof, but I've got the option, obviously, to drop him out for certain games and maybe swap him with a Sterling or a Fernandes or a De Bruyne. So that's something I would definitely consider, but yeah, it's okay. But look, he scored in big games recently, hasn't he? Certainly in cup competitions. So I'm going to back him.
All right. What about West Ham? Are you going to back their players as they take on Arsenal, Wolves, Leicester, Spurs, Man City, and then Liverpool? That's their next six games.
Yeah. Well, I've only got Thomas Souček, and I've looked at those fixtures and thought, well, can I swap out Thomas Souček, who I think will chip in with goals? He goes into the box to create chances or get on the end of crosses. I think he can do that against any opposition. And for 5 million, I just cannot find a better option midfielder. The two that I've got are Sissoko at Spurs. And I won't be swapping him for Sissoko. And the other one's interesting is Curtis Jones, who would be a bench player. But I do think he will score the odd goal for Liverpool this season. I think he's going to get more game time. But so based on what I've just said, I think I'm going to stick with Souček through this run.
Mm. Jack, have you got him?
I haven't, but it's in that tricky price point. And I've got a 4.5 midfielder who is Harrison Reed at Fulham.
Right.
Who will play, you know, unless one of their returning lone midfielders bumps him out. But he's someone who's started pretty much every championship game and will happily be on my bench. And I'm delighted that he'll never score and he'll never get an assist, but he'll get 2 points every week. That's fine.
Very happy with the 2 points.
Yeah. The problem with Souček, I think Souček's a great pick. Because of that goal threat. I only watched the match of the day highlights of West Ham, and even then he was in the box all the time.
Yeah.
Mm. But it's just that price point. I can't see the justification in swapping him for Reed if he's going to be on the bench every week. The only way I'd get him is downgrading Saint-Maximin and then just having Souček as, you know, a semi-regular starter just with crossed fingers. But I don't think he's, you know, rock bottom priced enough to be always on my bench.
Fair enough. Lee, who have you got in as a budget midfielder to finance all the big stars alongside him?
Yeah, I have Souček. And for all the reasons Adrian said, I'm happy to keep him. The fixtures for West Ham look terrible, don't they? Goodness me. And if game week one's anything to go by, then I will not be investing anywhere else in West Ham, I'm afraid to say. But at 5.0, he can sit there, carries plenty of goal threat. The only one that I'd maybe consider alongside him is Danny Ceballos. I think he's 5 million as well at Arsenal. I think Arsenal have been rejuvenated since he's got a run in that side. And I think he himself is playing fantastically well under Arteta right now. Whether he's going to get us the goals and assists that we really want in FPL, I don't know. But at 5 million, you don't need him to chip in every week, do you?
Indeed not. Indeed not. All right. Well, lots to think about there. Next up, let's just check on any last minute moves you guys are planning. And also, who's going to get the captain's armband? Righty-ho, so the deadline for game week two is 11 o'clock this Saturday morning, UK time, an hour before Everton and West Brom kick off at Goodison. Any changes that you're looking to do before then, and who are you going to give your skipper's pick to, Jack?
I'm making no transfers. that was kind of the plan when I had Bruno on the bench. And although a few of my players I've mentioned are slightly concerning, it's a small sample size. They all played, which is, you know, didn't have Adrian's issue there. So yeah, going to give them all another week. And I was going to captain Bruno until I changed my mind yesterday, just because Aubameyang, the new contract, I think that'll give him a boost. And I can just see the headlines, you know, Aubameyang celebrates new contract with with a brace or similar. I think Arsenal's fixture is better. United, obviously, for not having had a game, as Lee mentioned, might not destroy Crystal Palace. I think that would be tighter than many people think. So I've gone for Aubameyang.
Who's getting your armband this week, Adrian?
I'm torn. At the moment, Marcus Rashford's got it on a hunch, really, that I'm just going to go with Manchester United to score plenty of goals against Crystal Palace and for him
it's
to be at the
same kind of hunch that had Vinagre starting last week.
Yeah, it is, yeah. but yeah, so that means Aubameyang won't get my armband. I'm not so sure Arsenal will smash West Ham, to be honest. But I'm a little bit tempted by Calvert-Lewin as a sort of differential captain choice, purely on the basis that I think West Brom are going to be really weak at the back this season. Right now, they're definitely not in a good place. Leicester carved them open for fun. So yeah, there's a slight temptation to even go with him.
Interesting. But you know who the big captain success story was in game week one? Mo Salah. And we haven't talked about any Liverpool assets going into this week as potential captaincy candidates. They're facing Chelsea, a big side, of course, but they're also facing Kepa.
I am tempted. Yeah, he's got my vice captaincy right now.
Mo Salah
on it, didn't he? Yeah, he's got my vice captaincy. He looked really on it in game week one and Leeds, you know, that intense, that high line. It left him a lot of space to play in, and I expect Chelsea to do the same. But listen, Aubameyang home to West Ham, it has to be him for me.
For me, James, Salah, and I don't want to label him a homer, but he's always more dangerous at Anfield than he is away from home. I just feel that he doesn't guarantee you the goals on the road that he does at Anfield.
Bobby Firmino, then?
No.
Yeah, he's the other way around, right?
Yeah. All right, then. Okay, well, so those are the picks. We'll see how they get on when we return next week for another official Fantasy Premier League podcast. In the meantime, for more great FPL content like the FPL show, do head over to PremierLeague.com, where you can also find out all the statistical information and the FDR chart and all the stuff you need to build your team for this fantasy season. Adrian, Jack and Lee, thank you very much for being with us today. Wish you all a very great weekend, and particularly you, Adrian, with your new look team. We'll catch up with how that gets on in a future episode. For now, though, from all of us here, it's goodbye.